From comics and games to movies and TV. This is The Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. Now, here are the nerds.
Please talk nerdy to me.
Greetings, nerdians, and welcome to the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. We are live in the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I am Farley, joined by the incredible Mr. Micah. How are you, sir?
I am great.
Unfortunately, Hulk will not be able to join us this evening. A moment of silence. How we all feel right now. We're missing Hulk, but he's busy doing some other things. The guy's got a busy life, and we're not part of that right now.
Have
Just
you
fine.
Heard the first part of that song ever?
No.
I've never heard the first part of that song until like just now when I was queuing it up.
Yeah.
I don't recognize. Is this All Out of Love?
But it is. It's All Out of Love. Everything we do is all out of love, except for the beginning of that song.
Yeah,
nobody knows what it is.
So weird. It's been listened to on Spotify 176 million times.
How often do you think people are just skipping to the chorus, though?
It's true.
You know what I mean? Like, if I was listening to that song, it's just like, skip, because that's the part you want to hear. That's what you see in the movies, is that chorus line. You don't hear the whole song. It's just that one little section.
When you say you mean people that actually like that song.
Oh, yeah. No, I meant you. I know you listen to that every day, crying.
Yeah, I am a crier.
Still, I can see that.
Wake up.
Your beard's a little
tears
damp
on
still.
My face.
A little damp still. Well, we got a few fun things going on today. We were going to review the bacon habanero chips, but
and why aren't we?
Since the Hulk is not here, I specifically grabbed those chips for him, so I don't want to review them without him because I feel like that would be rude.
I saved myself for those chips. I am starving. I'm sorry. Sitting here eating your replacement, and it's not very filling.
No, I brought in the Coca-Cola Tic Tacs, so we at least have something to discuss for a little while. And it was the only replacement that I had last minute.
I've had 20 of them.
They're not very filling.
No, they're not. My stomach's still going, feed me.
I eat right coast pizza. Later after the show.
But what did you
lunch on dinner?
What did you think of the Coca-Cola Tic Tacs?
You know, if you like Coke, you will like these. They taste like Coke.
They surprisingly taste like Coke. I mean, it says on the package that it's made with real Coke, not cocaine. Coca-Cola.
Oh, okay. I was
just saying. Should be
in what country was this made with real Coke?
Do you normally like Tic Tacs? Are you a Tic Tac person?
I used to eat Tic Tacs, but I don't think I've had one since maybe high school.
So my wife and I actually had a debate about Tic Tacs the other day about the orange Tic Tacs on whether or not those are a breath mint.
Those
Do you consider a mint or a candy?
Are Tic Tacs even mints?
Well, the original Tic Tacs are mints. Like, those are the mint Tic Tacs, right? But they have the orange Tic Tacs, which are a lot more candy-like than they are minty. So my argument was you just dump that whole container in your mouth, basically, and you just sit there and chew on them. And she disagreed with me.
So and who won the argument?
There is no winning in an argument. I lost before it even began.
So you basically,
I just like to, you know, like bring things up every once in a while and debate over them. Because to me, I would just chew on the orange Tic Tacs because they're not minty. They don't freshen your breath. I don't feel citrusy fresh afterwards.
I think if I were going to have orange Tic Tacs, probably be during a Broncos game.
I believe that. They should come out with some special edition orange and blue, like blue raspberry and orange Tic Tacs.
You know, I was thinking about it. I haven't seen Tic Tacs in a store that I go to in a while.
Really? Maybe you just
They used
looking.
To be everywhere. And now it's just like a different dentine gum or...
Gums have replaced the mint world. There's not a lot of just like actual mints anymore. It's all about gum.
Yeah, because people
I'm not a gum
need
person,
something to do.
I guess. I guess. So if you should we rate these just for kicks and giggles?
Like, I think
I'm
we should.
Kicking and I'm giggling. I like Coca-Cola. I like the Tic Tacs. They're not fantastic though. I don't think I'd ever buy these again. So I'm just gonna give them an 8. Keep it simple.
An 8?
An 8.
See, I like Coca-Cola. I prefer my Coca-Cola to be frozen.
Ooh, interesting.
Tastes
like
better
in a
frozen.
Slurpee.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Or you can freeze it yourself.
Yeah.
And allow the actually all sodas, if you freeze them, they taste better.
Really?
Because the syrup separates from everything else. It's quite good.
Interesting.
But anyway, Coca-Cola. This does taste like Coca-Cola. I'm okay with Coca-Cola. I'd give it an 8 as well.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, like they're okay. But I'm not going to go out and buy them again.
Yeah.
I mean, this one-time shot was all I needed. I was just curious about how they actually tasted.
Now, if it was Mountain Dew.
That'd be a different story.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah, for me.
For you. Well, we also have a special guest on the show today. Even though Hulk can't be with us, we're not replacing him. We just have a special guest joining us on the show today, and that is the wonderful Rob Walker.
He's a walker!
He's a walker! He has worked on a new game that's going to be coming out. You can actually join the Kickstarter for this game right now if you would like to get it when it is available. But he also had a screenplay that was selected for the Film Quest Film Festival. So we want to talk to him about that and his upcoming game and his roles on doing both of those and what it was like to write for an RPG and what it was like to have the screenplay written and selected for the film festival. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Rob and get into his brain, which can be a slightly scary place. So stay tuned, Nerdians. This is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back, Nerdians, to the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. We are inside the Auto Collision Specialist Studio. I am Farley, and joining us on the line right now is Rob Walker. We promise you he's going to be joining us, and he is here. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are. Oh, I'm fantastic. I don't want to speak for Micah over there, but I'm doing great.
I'm shoving Coca-Cola Tic Tacs in my mouth.
He's starving. We had Coca-Cola Tic Tacs in place of our normal snack item this evening, and apparently Micah is now starving because Tic Tacs do not fill you up.
No.
I never promised him a meal anyway, so I don't know why he's so hungry. So anyways, that's not why we have you on the line, though. We want to talk about your screenplay that you have, The Hunt at Night, and how that was selected for the upcoming film festival, Film Quest.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about, I guess, one, give us a background behind FilmQuest and what it was like to be selected for the festival.
I have to be honest, I was really surprised because festivals take, the last time I was on your show, I was talking about Go West.
Right, yeah.
Festivals take a long time to put together, and I submitted my script months ago.
Oh, wow.
And then completely forgot about it. So I got an email last week saying, "Hey, congratulations. You know, your whatever your project was selected for Film Quest." And I was like, "Did I submit to Film Quest?" I did. So then I went and was like, "Yeah, I submitted my feature screenplay." So it was a pleasant surprise. I was really excited. And I'm really excited because Film Quest specializes in genre films.
Yeah.
Stand, They Hunt at Night is very much it's a monster movie. It's a genre picture. So it's probably not going to suit the tastes of, say, a Sundance or a Telluride.
Right. It's not like for the general audience necessarily. This is very niche market.
Yeah.
But the Film Quest Festival is a pretty big deal. I mean, this is one of the top film festivals worth entry by Movie Makers Magazine in 2017 and 2015, and is one of the top 30 bloody best genre fests by Movie Maker Magazine as well. So the festival itself has tons of awards for being a festival worth being at. So for you to be selected to be part of it, I think it's kudos to you, man. Like, this is awesome. I was really excited for you when I saw that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, they're up there. I was really pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. It took me a while. I was like, really? It happened so long ago, and the festival's such a big deal that I was like, all right, well, I mean, you guys didn't know.
Yeah, so. No, I got to tell you, like, because you sent me over the screenplay that you had submitted, and I've been reading it since you sent it over to me, so I'm like a little more than halfway through, and it is fantastic. Like, I'm hooked, you know. Like, it's
cool.
Just I want to know what's going to happen, and like the setup of the characters and their development and their relationship with each other. I love it. I mean, it's very classic horror film, and it really sucks you in. So it's great. So give our listeners a little bit of a background behind The Hunt at Night and tell us what it's going to be about.
So The Hunt at Night was my first feature script. It's a horror film. And I spent 10 years working in the oil fields here in Colorado. And I'd never seen a horror movie set in that place. So I decided to create one. And The Hunt at Night follows main character Kate West, who has recently left the Park Service. She was a ranger. And she's joined a roustabout crew to do her first job on the weekend, which is usually kind of uncommon, to drive out to the middle of nowhere in this tank battery.
Yeah, like really in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And that is partially based on my experience running around, you know, mapping locations. And
right.
I went out all the way to eastern Colorado one time, and I thought, you know, if vampires were real, I would be dead.
this is how it's going to happen. So
you've
been into, like, some creepy locations kind of similar to what your screenplay is based in?
Exactly, like
That's
what
awesome.
My screenplay is based on.
Right.
Yeah, there are some older locations. I don't think they're around anymore. I think they've taken them all out. Where the water pits for the oil, or for the excess water, were like swimming pool sized, and
right.
They were no tanks. They were just like this open thing dug into the ground. And it was seeing some of that, I'd be like, oh man, that's, you know, first of all, that's not going to fly anymore.
Right.
And second of all, that's just a really like, all the equipment's rusted up. It's very sort of like an American Gothic sort of setting.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think that would make a very suiting background for a horror film. So your creatures that you have in the movie, the Blood Eaters, right? That's what they're called, the Blood Eaters. How did you come up with that idea? I mean, I know it seems like they come out of the water or the ooze, and I haven't really gotten up that far into it, but where did those come from? Because they're not necessarily anything standard to what we normally see.
Yeah. So I took my inspiration from vampires. So the further you get into the script, they're much more vampire-like.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea of, you know, like I said, these creatures sleeping in the sludge of this oil, this water pit. And partially because we kind of see it with John Carpenter's The Thing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like there have been numerous expeditions where they dig down in the ice or dig down in the earth and they find things that don't exist anymore. They find like
right.
germs and stuff
yeah.
or organisms. And I like the idea of, you know, if anyone were to find that, it would probably be a drilling crew. an organism that exists inside our petroleum or fossil fuels that would turn somebody into a monster. Maybe
it accidentally release.
Yeah. And I there's sort of a very H.P. Lovecraft idea to that, you know, a ton of his stories are about modern people running up against ancient beings mm-hmm. that existed on Earth before us. It was kind of part Lovecraft, part Bram Stoker, and then a little bit of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I like that.
Yeah, but I think, I guess it's hard to know your vision, but how gory, like if this was to be turned into an actual film, like how gory are you planning on making that?
I think with the creatures, you have to have some. You have to have at least one or two scenes where it gets really bad.
Yes.
My goal of the script is to make you love the characters before anything happens, because I think those are my favorite monster movies. I'm not really a gore guy. I don't really care for gore, but
yeah,
I like movies with really, really interesting characters and cool characters. Like if you think about Alien or Aliens or, you know, Predator, like those are movies where we love these characters. So then when bad things start to happen, we feel something.
You feel panic for them. Like that's why you're connected to the film, is because you're connected to the character themselves, not necessarily scared of the monsters, but you're concerned for their well-being.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted you to like this, you know, like Kate, mm-hmm. and like the crew she was with. I wanted them to be, you know, funny and endearing and, you know, feel like real people.
Oh, totally.
So that when the monsters show up, it's shocking. And then we have to, when you're crafting a story like this, you have to see genuine consequences.
Yeah. Well, and I gotta tell you, I really enjoyed Kate's character. I mean, being a female in a male-dominated role and how she handles herself was awesome. I think it was brilliant because she just, you know, they're giving her crap and she just gives it back. And she's like, you want to talk like that? That's fine, but I'm going to give it back to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted a strong female lead. In particular, since I worked on a Roustabout crew for mm-hmm. a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I often wondered, I was like, what would it be like if we had a woman on our crew? Like, what would the dynamic be? And that was really interesting to me. So I put it in the movie. I thought it was interesting enough that other people would want to see that.
Yeah. Are any of the other characters that on your screenplay, are they based off of anybody that you have experience with? Like, are they actual people that you know, or are these all just out of your head?
They're amalgams of guys I worked with. Mm-hmm. I think every crew has like a Boone Collier who's just, he's really, he says horrible things, but you can't help but laugh sometimes, even though he's objectively an idiot.
Yeah, Mike has pointed out himself. He's the Boone of this show.
Yeah, that's me.
A lot of the guys are, you know, we had an older guy on our crew for a long time, and I like that dynamic too, to where it's not just all these 20-somethings, like the ages vary.
Yeah.
So he's the guy on the crew that has grandkids, which is not super common on a Roustabout crew, but it does happen. There are guys out there with grandkids who are still, you know, digging ditches and building fences and stuff.
Yeah. So now that you have the award and you've been selected, what's the next step? Like, where is this going to go? Do you have any plans for They Hunt at Night right now?
I pitched it to other companies. I actually got the chance to pitch it to Joe Dante's company last year.
Mm-hmm.
He did Gremlins and he did just Interspace, a ton of stuff from especially the 80s.
Yeah.
I pitched it to Sean Cunningham's company, and he did the Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah.
And I got some interest, but nothing concrete.
Nothing solid yet.
I think I'll continue to submit it for festivals and see if I can get it pitched. I have friends who actually are filmmakers, so maybe with some slight changes, if nothing happens with that, we can get it made.
Yeah, no, I think that would be awesome because, I mean, like I said, I am hooked now. So I actually would do everything in my power to help you turn this into a feature film because I want to see what this is, what your vision actually is going to be like on the screen because it's a very fun read just through the screenplay. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you.
Yep. So when we come back, we're going to be discussing an RPG that you worked for, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So we'll get into that and what that experience was like. So stay tuned, Nerdians. This is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Get your day started right with up-to-date news, weather, and sports. Mornings with Gale, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. weekdays on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back, Nerdians, to the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. We are still joined by Rob Walker, and we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit. So we talked about Rob's screenplay, The Hunt at Night, but you had another project that you just wrapped up, and that is writing characters for an upcoming RPG called They Come From Beyond the Grave.
Yeah. The RPG, They Came From Beyond the Grave, is the latest RPG to come out of Onyx Path Publishing. And for those of you who don't know, Onyx Path was responsible for kind of picking up the torch of the World of Darkness, the Vampire of the Masquerade, the Werewolf the Apocalypse sort of line after they wound all that down. And now they're still doing that stuff. They're still doing development for the World of Darkness and Chronicles of Darkness. But they're doing a ton of new games, too, including a series of books called They Came From Books, which the first one was They Came From Beneath the Sea, which was a horror comedy RPG based on 1950s monster sci-fi, things like The Blob and It Came From Outer Space.
Right.
And I worked on a little bit on that, making monsters for that. And then the most recent one is They Came From Beyond the Grave, which is a send-up of the Hammer films of the 1960s and 70s and the Amicus movies and the Roger Corman Poe films. So, if you've ever wanted to be a vampire hunter inside a discotheque filled with the undead, this is the game for you.
Who hasn't?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So how did you get set up with this project? Like, did you see an app, like a job posting or something? Or do you have an insight to the writers? Or, like, how did this come about?
So I came to role-playing games very late, after college. And I was looking for something that would be, like, because I studied theater. Right. I was looking for something that would stretch that muscle when I was on stage or working on a project. And there was a young man actually who started posting YouTube videos and under the name of The Gentleman Gamer, The Gentleman's Guide to Gaming.
Okay.
And I'd always watch his videos, him reviewing different games and stuff, and he and I started talking. Well, years later, he became a developer for role-playing games.
Okay.
And Onyx Path was one of the companies that I really liked their product. Their products are really story-based and just have a really good flavor. Like, there's a lot of horror, there's sci-fi and stuff. I love Dungeons & Dragons, but it's, you know, this isn't that.
This is very different.
Yeah, it expands, you know, the genres of play a little bit more.
Right.
And I sent in a submission, I think. I sent in a monster piece I wrote, and they got back to me and asked me to work on They Came From Beneath the Sea, making monsters for them. And then after that, Matthew Dawkins, The Gentleman Gamer, asked me to work on his new project, which was They Came From Beyond the Grave.
So when you're writing these monsters, are you basically just giving them background story as to, like, how they became monsters, or are you actually, like, creating them from, like, the ground up?
Well, with this one, it's a very specific subgenre, so we knew we had to hit, like, you know, Dracula, the Wolfman, you know, zombies and that sort of thing.
Right.
So they had a long list, which we could add to, that we could choose from. And then we had a specific word count we had to hit. And then, so once we got our list of monsters that we were each doing, basically it was like half and half. So half of it was like writing a detailed backstory, sort of like a plot hook for how you could place this monster in your game,
mm-hmm.
But make it fun and interesting to read. And then the second half would be their stats. So like, you know, any special powers or abilities they'd have during play, any special keywords that would affect how they would interact with other characters, that sort of thing. So, yeah. Nice. So like,
so what was your favorite monster to write for? Did you have a favorite, or are they all pretty just awesome in general?
I love writing for the werewolf, because that's my favorite movie monster since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite was probably working on the Red Death. Yeah, so because the game takes inspiration from Roger Corman's Poe film,
uh-huh.
and Vincent Price's Mask of the Red Death.
Right.
I worked a little bit on that, or I proposed it to them, and they were like, yeah, that sounds great. So I ended up doing a...
Play, let's do this.
Yeah, they were like, sounds good. So, and what I did with him was, or it, was that it is possibly one of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Oh.
And that this creature basically sows, you know, disease wherever it goes.
Right.
So when we first meet it in the opening story bit, it's working with this entity is working with a traveling theater troupe.
Oh, okay.
And they're being asked to perform for this really rotten prince, and that's how they're going to get inside the walls of this prince's domain and kill everybody, basically.
Yeah, nice. So now that the game is basically complete, right? I know this is on Kickstarter right now, but the game itself is basically ready for production?
Yeah. They were nearing the end of the Kickstarter. I think we've reached most of the stretch goals. The game is done, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as Kickstarter ends, they'll make some tweaks here and there, but I think it'll be ready to go into production.
Yeah. Nice. Do you know how much longer is left on the Kickstarter campaign? I should have looked at that. I know, like, it looks like you have one more goal that you guys are trying to reach, and you're close. Actually, that's very close, it looked like. And so people still have some time to get on that Kickstarter campaign and join it to be part of this project.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I think maybe we have a week left.
Yeah.
I should have looked it up before we...
That's a little bit of time. I mean, but it's awesome that you guys had such a positive response from people. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
You crushed the initial goal that was set. I think that was at 20K, and that was done. And so then you've just been hitting those other milestones along the way. And so it's great to see people going out and supporting a game like this. And without really knowing or seeing or having a review to go off, there's based off of like trust that this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of people that really liked They Came From Beyond the Sea game,
right.
Which isn't straight horror. You could make it as horrific or as comedic as you want. There are certain tricks in there where you can do like a scene missing. So if your characters really get up against the wall,
mm-hmm.
they can do play scene missing, and then they all wind up saved, but you can't talk about how you were saved.
Right, okay.
So there's all these little cool, neat mechanics in the game that aren't in other games. But yeah, it looks like we have 15 days to go on the Kickstarter. Right now, it looks like we're sitting at double our pledged goal, so that's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you actually played the final game right now? Or like, have you seen the final product?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't seen the final one. I think they're going to be sending out if you're a backer, they're going to be sending out manuscript copies. So that's kind of handy. You kind of see what they're going for with the game.
Right.
Just as it's developed and tweaked and kind of tightened up a little bit. But I see I'm really impressed with the artwork. The artwork on
the
game.
Yeah. No, the ones they posted on the Kickstarter page were awesome. I loved the artwork.
Yeah.
Do you know who's doing the artwork?
They have a bunch of different folks doing it. Ken Meyer Jr. is one of the artists.
Mm-hmm.
Brian LeBlanc is another. They have a whole team, and it varies. You know, it's different styles. All of them are really dynamic. I think, people are going to be really happy.
It's very fun artwork. I mean, when you see, Dracula has holding the go-go dancers in his hand, basically, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. So if people want to back the game, how do they find it? They just go to Kickstarter.com and search for The Came From Beyond the Grave?
That would do it. Yeah. Came From Beyond the Grave on Kickstarter.
Very cool. Well, I really encourage everybody to go out, check out They Came From Beyond the Grave on Kickstarter. We did post a link on our Facebook page, which is The Nerd Show 1310. So go back and take a look at that. Go and support Rob's projects and follow you. So where else can we follow you, Rob, besides They Came From Beyond the Grave? You have your own Facebook page for your film, correct?
Yeah. You can follow me on Facebook at Rob Walker Films. I also have a website, robwalkerfilms.com. And if you just like comedy, you can follow me on Instagram at Quarantastic.
Nice.
Which I post all jokes.
Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you for joining us on the show today, Rob. We really appreciate your insights and everything you're doing, man. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yep. All right. Well, stay tuned, Nerdians. When we come back, we're going to discuss some of our favorite games from the past, and we have another special guest joining us on the show. So stay tuned. This is The Nerd Show on 1310 KFQA.
KFKA Preps Radio is Northern Colorado's home for the best high school coverage.
Welcome back, Nerdians, to the Nerd Show on 1310 KFK. We are in the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, and joining me now is another special guest. I mean, Brady steps out for a while, and we get two guests, so maybe he needs to do this a little bit more. But we have Travis here from the Nerd Store. How are you doing, man?
Doing all right.
Yeah, so when we were off air, you were explaining to me that you guys actually backed Rob's project for They Came From Beyond the Grave.
Yeah, so we backed it as a store, so we will have those in shop, the Kickstarter version, so you can actually back it through the Nerd Store.
That is awesome. So they can actually do it through the Nerd Store and back it, and basically pre-order it, if you will?
Yeah, they come in and pre-order it through us, and we will give them the goodies that they send us. So
that's awesome. So they can do that at the store, or can they do it online?
Either way, it's not set up quite yet. We do that a little bit closer to launch.
Mm-hmm.
But we will have that set up about the time that they are getting ready to send all this stuff out. So
that's awesome. I mean, that's a great way. I mean, I'm glad to hear that you guys are supporting projects like that. I mean, you guys have a lot of games at the store. A lot of games.
Yes.
So, tell me a little bit about, do you know how many games you guys have on hand?
It really depends on how you count.
Yeah.
So we have about 500 SKUs in our board game section.
That
includes some expansions and some sequels and stuff like that. So it's closer to about 400 unique titles. But then we also have a couple different RPGs, and that line is actually growing quite a bit right now. We just expanded that section, so there'll be a couple dozen RPGs, and that is role-playing games.
Yeah.
So the timing of Rob's project's perfect.
Perfect.
We were needing some new games for that section anyway.
Have you noticed with all of this coronavirus stuff going on, people coming in to buy more games? I know games in general seem to be kind of on the up right now.
So there are... It depends. You know, some games require you to get together with lots of people.
Sure.
Those games haven't been as popular.
Right.
But games like Warhammer and our miniatures game, we've got miniatures games are where you have little models that you paint and then you play against an opponent. Those have been hugely popular.
Yeah.
Because so much of that is the painting and the assembling and stuff.
Right.
And it's
a lot more than just opening up a box and,
sure.
and playing a game.
And people haven't had the time to do that before.
Right.
So now they have the time. Right now we actually have, I think, the largest selection of miniature games in Northern Colorado.
Really?
We have the largest selection of 40K or current 40K, the largest selection of Age of Sigmar. We've got a couple different Star Wars games and some Marvel games and
awesome
and stuff. So those have been really big, and we've really expanded that and put that as a focus.
Yeah.
So, and Pokemon. Everybody is playing Pokemon right now.
Well, they came out with some new cards recently, didn't
yes.
they?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's we're doing Darkness Ablaze pre-release right now, which means you can pick up cards before the set comes out.
Right.
And you get enough to build a deck with. And so you and your roommates or your family or whoever
right.
can each pick up a kit and build and battle.
Yeah, my son is really into Pokemon cards. I can't even tell you how many he has. It's ridiculous. And he's like always showing them to me and like putting it out on the table and stuff like that. So it's a whole different game when you get into that world. Do you have a favorite game from the store? Like, do you play games a lot yourself?
I have hundreds of favorite games depending on the day. I think it really depends on who I'm playing with.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I've got a favorite game for each occasion. My favorite party game finally released. I got to play this at a conference last year, just over a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And I played that. They had it set up at alpha testing, and I played the whole weekend. And I played so much, they put me in the rule books
as
a play tester. So,
which game is that?
It's called Stringamajig.
Stringamajig. And how do you play that game?
So it's kind of like charades, but you can only use a string on the table to build your thing. So everything comes up as an amoeba or a penis.
Right. No matter what you do, like that's funny.
So
that's yeah. cool. So that game is out now, or is
that,
coming out
that
soon?
Game is out now. So
nice.
we got that in a couple weeks ago, and I'm a little bit disappointed because it's one of those games that works great with like 10 to 20
right.
people.
You need a large group of people.
It works well with like 5 or 6 people, so definitely still groups you could play this with.
Maybe
but
a couple
it was like,
shots in there, and
oh yeah, dude, this is the perfect drinking game. But yeah, it was just hilarious.
Yeah.
We were laughing the whole time we were playing this, and
that's
you know
awesome.
It was one of those that I looked at originally and was like, yeah, I'm just gonna like pass on this. This is looks
right.
like another stupid charades game, and I don't need another. It was
and then you
it
got
was
hooked.
So much fun.
That's awesome. So if somebody like let's say a family is at home stuck and they're in the coronavirus, do you have a recommendation for a fun family game that they
yeah.
can pick up?
How,
the store?
How old are the kids? How many kids are there?
Let's say there's 2 kids and they're 8 and 5.
Okay. Okay.
Not to be specific or anything.
So actually there's one that I recommended to Micah that I think he's been playing with his nieces and nephews. It's called Dixit.
Okay.
And they like it very
they
much.
They like it a lot?
Yeah. The good thing about Dixit is with a 5-year-old, you often don't have reading in
right.
there.
Yeah.
If they are reading, there are some other games that we can choose and look at. But Dixit plays... It's similar mechanics to Apples to Apples.
Okay, yeah.
But instead of having these obscure references that they don't get or the inappropriate ones from
right.
Cards Against
yeah.
Humanity,
yeah.
it's a picture-based game.
Nice.
And instead of just picking the funniest one, you're trying to get at least one other person in the group to guess your card, but not everybody.
Oh, okay.
So you have to create obscure stories and references to your picture
right.
card. And kids are actually really good at
that. So they can be a little creative with what they're
yeah.
doing.
Also, role-playing games are actually really great for kids. Five's
yeah.
a little bit difficult because there is a lot of reading.
Right.
But there are some role-playing games made for younger audiences. No Thank You Evil, Adventure Maximus.
Yeah.
And it's make-believe. You
yeah.
get to sit down and make-believe with your kids. And,
right.
And
that's what they love to do.
And, you know, you put some boundaries on there and lots of fun.
It's amazing what their little imaginations will
sure.
come up with.
The third one is any one of the cooperative games, games where you can work together. Because then if one of the kids isn't picking up the strategy, you're allowed to help them. You guys are right. all on a team against the game. So you guys get to work together, and it really is perfect for younger kids
yeah.
because you know they get to make the decisions they can make, and you get to help with the decisions that they can.
Nice.
They feel empowered, but you know, they get to win or yeah. lose with everybody. So
it's a team effort. Yeah, we play a lot of Blockus at the house. Have you played Blockus before?
Yeah.
We do that a lot. I mean, I can't say we always play the correct way. The 5-year-old likes to make pretty pictures using
sure.
the blocks. But
sure.
overall, I mean, it's a fun strategy game that gets a lot of people involved. And that's kind of a fun, just family time sort of a game.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a, Micah, do you have a favorite game or from the past? Like, what's one of your favorite all-time games?
Well, I mean, I've always been a fan of chess, even though I've always been awful at it.
Sure.
But I'd have to say my Super Bowl 32 Monopoly. Super Bowl 32 champion Denver Broncos Monopoly.
That's, so it's not just Monopoly. It's that specific board.
That's yes. what makes Monopoly fun.
Yeah. Like,
straight well, Monopoly, you know, is terrible.
I actually do enjoy Monopoly. I think a lot of people play it wrong. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
If you know, I think a lot of it is if you have the right people to play it with.
Right.
So
yeah,
if
that's
you're
the key.
Playing, if you're playing with, you know, people that you love and people who don't throw temper tantrums, you can play decent board games, or you can play really great board games.
Yeah.
From well, the Nerd Store.
So, I mean, we carry basic Monopoly, and we carry a dozen themed Monopolies. And games like Monopoly, Micah hits a couple things. Really, your audience, who you're playing
right.
with, matters a lot. But also, I think, you know, when I first learned about board games and my friend was telling me about it, I'm like, oh, like Monopoly and Risk? And he just rolled his eyes, and which is the wrong response. If you're having fun, it shouldn't matter. But really what he was trying to say with his dismissive comments was, you know, they're great games. There are better games.
Right.
And I think that's what really excited me about board games for a long time. Board games is actually why I opened the Nerd Store. That was the big passion, because I had this group of friends, and between us, we were buying a new game mm-hmm. pretty much every
yeah.
week.
Right.
And so every week we got together to play board games, and I never played the same game twice for the first 2 years we played, and then
wow.
we started going back to
a
some
lot
of
games.
Our favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes we'd play just one game for the night, and sometimes we'd play four or five games. So
right.
it really was hundreds of games, and it was different every time. And it was just – some of them were terrible, but so many of them were just so much fun
yeah.
that you had to refigure it out every time you sat
right.
down. And the best games you can play over and over again and do that. And, you know, we started going back to some of our favorites after a while and being like, hey, you know what? We haven't played this in a few months. Let's cool. do this again. But I think that's what I really enjoy about board games is everyone's a new experience. Everyone's a new puzzle
You're right.
to figure out. Like, what's the best strategy to figure out? And when you're all playing it for the first time, it's a whole different experience than when you're
totally.
Playing the game for the fifth time and you guys all know the strategy. But both experiences are awesome.
So much fun. So we're going to wrap up real quick. So how do people go down to the store right now? Because you guys are open full time now, or what's your restrictions?
We are open 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. So mostly full time. We're requiring cool. masks. But we also have been like massively working on our website. I've been spending about 8 hours a day outside of the store working on
Get
the website for the last couple months.
It's awesome.
So we've got pictures and images and stuff going up for everything. Board games is the last thing we're tackling because that there's a lot to do with that.
Right. But it will get there eventually.
It will get there. You know, there are only so many other categories I can use to
procrastinate. So for right now, go down to the Nerd Store, pick up your new board game, your new comics, anything you need to keep you occupied during COVID. Thanks for tuning in, Nerdians, to the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. We will see you next week. Stay nerdy, my friends.
spree. We miss him so much.
So much. Your quirky jokes, your silly voices. We need you here to make the show complete. Yeah!